Praise God. Praise God. Tonight, I want to bring a word from the book of Numbers. If you get your Bible and go with me to the book of Numbers, chapter number 14. Title of tonight's message is about speaking faith. Speaking faith. I want to launch out of some principles that we started out in last week. Last week, if you didn't get a hold of the message, it was brilliant. And there was more to that message than I think any of us knew. God was speaking some things, and there were some amazing things. And so tonight, I want to expand and build and continue in that line of thinking about faith. Numbers chapter 13, I'm having you turn to Numbers chapter 14, but in Numbers chapter 13, Israel is on the border of the promised land. They're getting ready to go in and inhabit the promised land, going and getting ready to take the promised land. So here they are on the border, they're getting ready to go in, and they send spies into the land. Send out 12 spies, one from each of the tribes of Israel, the leaders, and they go in, these spies go in, they take a look at the land. As they're looking at the land, they find out that everything's as God says it would be. That there are houses that they didn't build. There's vineyards that they didn't plant. It truly is an abundant land full of milk and honey, right? And they're charged to bring back some of the fruit. And so there's these grape clusters that the Bible records that are so big, so massive, so heavy that it took two of these spies to take a pole in between the two of them and hang the clusters of grapes on their backs and carry that big old cluster back to report it to the nation of Israel. I mean, this is an amazing place. And God is promising the nation of Israel that this is your land. I'm going to give it to you. Just as I brought you out of the land of Egypt with miracles, signs, and wonders, just as I stopped all their mouths, just as I showed my strong, mighty arm, and as I brought you out with a great deliverance, now I'm going to bring you into this land. These people had seen the miracles of God. They had seen the plagues. They had seen the Red Sea parted. They'd seen provisions in the desert. They were eating the bread of angels, the manna from heaven. They were being fed supernaturally each and every day. Their sandal straps didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. They're walking in the supernatural and in the miraculous. But despite all this, when the spies come back and bring a report, 10 of them bring back an evil report. They say, yeah, the land is good. Yeah, the land's flowing with milk and honey. Yeah, it's everything's in order. Everything's the way that God said it would be. But there's giants in the land. And we saw the descendants of Anak. There, Anak was this big, you know, mighty warrior. And his descendants, they're big. They're giants. We're going to be like grasshoppers in their eyes. Only two of the spies brought back a good report. They said, no, we can do it. Come on, let's go in there. Let's take the land. If God is for us, come on, we got this. Just like God brought us out of Egypt, now God's going to send us into the promised land. If God delights in us, then he'll bring us in. And yet the people listened to the evil report. They listened to those 10 spies, and their hearts melted, and they started to complain. They started to say, oh, woe is us. They started to say, it would have been better for us to have died in Egypt. Let's take a look at it in Numbers chapter 14, verse number 2. Numbers chapter 14, verse number 2. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them. Now I want you to notice that they said something. They spoke something. Talking about speaking faith tonight. This is what they spoke. The whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt. Or if only we had died in this wilderness. So they're not giving too many options here with their words. They said, either we wish we could have either died in Egypt, which didn't happen, or we wish we would have died in the wilderness. If only. If only we would have died. If only we would have died in Egypt, if only we would have died in the wilderness, but not here, not going into the promised land, not when we're so close. If only we had died in one of those two other places. Now, Moses intercedes on behalf of the people. Moses goes before the Lord, and we're going to read through what Moses said to the Lord. But I want you to notice when we get down to the end of this section that we're going to read, what God's response is to Moses. It's just mind-blowing when you take a look at what's taking place. Numbers chapter 14, drop down to verse number 17. Numbers chapter 14, verse number 17, we're going to read through verse number 20. Moses is speaking, and he says to the Lord, and now I pray, let the power of my Lord be great, just as you have spoken, saying, now, all of a sudden, Moses starts recounting to the Lord what the Lord had already spoken to Moses about himself. Are you listening? So basically, all that Moses is doing is Moses is praying, and Moses is remembering what God has said about himself. And so Moses says, now, Lord, I pray, the power of my Lord be great, just as You have spoken. God, these are your words. And what did he say? Verse 18, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but he by no means clears the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation. Verse number 19, pardon the iniquity of this people, I pray, according to the greatness of your mercy, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. So Moses intercedes for the people. He says, Lord, I know you want to wipe these people out. I know that you wanted to make a greater nation out of me, but Lord, what is the nation of Egypt going to say when they see that we just got wiped out? They're going to say the Lord wasn't strong enough to bring them in. And so now he's praying to the Lord, and he says, Lord, you said you were full of mercy. You said that you forgave sin. And therefore, Lord, I pray that you pardon this people's sin. Pardon them, Lord, according to the greatness of your mercy. So he points out, Lord, you said you were merciful. Now, according to your mercy, I pray that you would pardon them, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt until now. Verse number 20. This is where I wanted to get to tonight. Verse number 20. Take a look at the Lord's response to Moses. Then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word. Stop and think about that for a second. Moses brought back up the word of the Lord to God. These were not Moses' words. These were God's word about himself. And he brought it up to God and he said, God, I want you to forgive these people. I want you to have mercy upon these people according to your great mercy, Lord. You've forgiven them from Egypt all the way till now. And Lord, I pray that you do it again. God says, I have pardoned according to your word. In other words, if Moses hadn't prayed, hadn't brought it up to God, hadn't remembered the word of the Lord and spoke it forth from his mouth, then there would have been no intercession made and the people would have been wiped out. But God said, Moses, because you did this according to your word, I'll pardon them. Now, this is a positive example of the power of our words when we speak faith. Now let's take a look at it in the negative. Numbers chapter 14, verse number 28. Even though the Lord forgave them, there was still a consequence to their action. Numbers chapter 14, verse number 28. God is speaking, and he wants Moses to speak to the people. Numbers chapter 14, verse 28. The Lord says, say to them, Moses, speak to the people of Israel. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so will I do to you. So just as there was a positive example, I have pardoned them according to your word. Now here comes the negative example. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. Meaning, you said it would have been okay for you to die in the wilderness. You said it, and now you have it. Think about that. We've got a positive and a negative example right there in front of us. Last week, we heard the statement said that whatever train you are on, that is where you will go. So are you on the train of faith, believing God? Are you on the train of destiny, purpose, of goodness? Or are you on the train of grumbling, complaining, saying things that you don't really mean, but you're saying them anyways because you're mad, because you're provoked? Whatever train you are on, that's where you're going to end up. Why? Because here's two examples out of the Word in just one chapter that the Lord says, according to your word, and as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. The power of our words is so important for us to understand. And tonight I want to take a look at some things out of this chapter. Just some principles. I know sometimes we have a 1, 2, 3. We've got a, you know, this is how to do it. This is what we need to do. But tonight I just want to bring some thoughts out of the Word tonight for you and I, that as we get a hold of these things tonight, it will help us to stay in faith and to speak faith and to stay in those positive areas where the Word of God will come into effect in our life. A lot of times people say, I want the blessings, I want the promise of God, I want to have a good life, I want to have a good marriage, I want to be successful in my business, I don't want to be broke down, busted, and disgusted any longer. I've been there long enough, and now I desire something. That's why you're here tonight. because you wanted to hear from God. Now, God is speaking to you and I, and he's saying something to us about the power of our tongue, the power of our words, and that God listens to our words, and then he gives us what came out of us. So tonight, a couple of things. First thought for tonight is that our words work in the positive and the negative. Our words work in the positive and in the negative. Now, we saw two examples. In the positive, Moses is interceding for the people. This is a positive example. This is something that's good. Good for the people, good for God. Why? Because Moses is bringing it up to God, bringing up his word, declaring the faithfulness of God, the mercy of God, the long-suffering of God, the forgiveness of God. And as he declares it, that was God's desire. God wanted to do that. God is not waiting to wipe people out. That's not the character of God. No, God does not want that. God wants to bring the people into the promised land. So here's Moses interceding, and now the power of his words has a positive result. The Lord forgives them. The Lord has mercy on them. But in the negative, we also saw that the people had complained. The people said, "We wish we could have died in the wilderness." And God says, "As you've spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you." He gave them the desire of their heart that was spoken from their mouth. It works in the positive and in the negative. Kind of a interesting little verse in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 30. Turn there with me. Proverbs chapter 30. We're going to take a look at verse number 32. Talking about our words work in the positive and in the negative. Once again, this is a negative example, but you and I can learn from this negative example what to do in the positive. Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 32 says, "If you have been foolish in exalting yourself, or if you have devised evil." Now, so far in this verse, nothing's been spoken so far. So all of this stuff is going on the inside of a person. This is the train that they are on. This is where they are headed. If you have been foolish in exalting yourself, or if you have devised evil, if you've thought about evil, if you've been planning evil, take a look at what it says to do. Put your hand on your mouth. Isn't that interesting? Why is that? Because as you have spoken, so I will do to you, according to your word. So if there's negative things going on the inside of you, this is the posture that you're supposed to have. Why? Because if those evil thoughts and evil intents start to come out of your mouth, that's the train that you're on, and that's where you're headed. That's where you're going. Sometimes people wake up and they say, "Oh, this is a terrible day. Wish I could have gotten more sleep. I didn't sleep all night. Oh, I'm probably going to just be hurting all day long. I've got a headache that won't go away." They open up the window, they look outside and they say, "Oh, it's ugly. God, gray. This is the worst. And now I have to go to work where my boss is just going to hound me all day long. Guy in the cube next to me is going to be making weird noises and looking at me. Just going to be a terrible day." You know what ends up happening? They have a terrible day. Why? Because according to your word, as you have spoken, I will do to you. That was the train that they were on, and that's where they arrived. And then at the end of the day, they throw their hands up in the air and say, "See, I told you. I knew it. Maybe today will be better, but I don't think so. Just going to be a bad week." That's why I'm allergic to negative people, because I don't want to get on that train. I don't want to go there. I like what Matthew Henry wrote about this subject. He said, "We must keep the evil thought that we have conceived in our minds from breaking out in any evil speeches. Do not give the evil thought a license. In other words, don't let it drive you around and take you where you don't want to go. Do not allow it to be published." That's an interesting way of saying it. "But lay your hand on your mouth. Use a holy violence with yourself if need be. It's bad to think ill, but it's much worse to speak it, for that implies a consent to the evil thought and a willingness to infect others with it. Oh my. Oh my. That means that you've now consented to it. You've agreed with it by putting the power of your tongue behind it. And additionally, now you want to infect others with it. You know the old saying, misery loves what? Company, right? And you can see those people coming a mile away. They just look like they've been sucking on lemons, and they just want to walk up to you and they want to share their misery with you. It's almost like somebody's walking around saying, I really have to throw up. Can I throw up on you? Most of the time before we can say no, bleh. Sometimes they don't even ask permission, right? Just walk up behind you. You're sitting at your desk at work. Bleh. There it is. Now they've infected somebody else with it. A lot of times gossip's like that. One person gets something on the inside of them, starts thinking about it. What did they mean by that? Wait, are they saying what I think they're saying? And all of a sudden, they start to speak about it, right? And they start to infect somebody else. Did you hear what they said? Oh, it wasn't what they said. It was how they said it. I know that they were mad at me. And all of a sudden, here it goes. It's going all around. And now other people, hey, you know what? I think you're right. You know, if I was you, and now all of a sudden it started. It's on. Amen. And on and on and on. That's the negative example. But once again, the word exhorts us to speak the positive. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. You guys doing okay with this? Yeah. Praise God. Ephesians chapter number 4, one of my favorite verses. Talking about our words. Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 29. We just heard to clap your hand over your mouth if there's evil going on the inside, so you don't speak it. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 29 says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. How do you do that? Well, put the hand over the mouth. But, or in other words, that's a negative example. Here's the positive example. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. Think about that for a second. It's necessary to edify other people. What does edification mean? Well, we get our word edifice from it. It means to build up. It means to strengthen the structure so that it can be raised. That is an edifice. It's something that is built up. It's strong enough to raise up to that height and to that level. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. It is necessary that we edify one another. Why is that? Because not only do you have the devil that hates your guts, that's putting all sorts of thoughts in your mind. Not only do you have the world systems that the devil set up that are working against you, and we live in a fallen world and things are collapsing and constantly going down. But also you got to deal with the flesh. And the flesh is warring against the spirit and the spirit warring against the flesh. I mean, you've got three enemies right there of your soul coming against you each and every day. It is necessary that we build one another up. Necessary that we encourage one another. We can't be tearing each other down. Why? Because everything else is trying to tear us down. And so we got to build each other up. When you see somebody at church, good to see you. I'm glad you're here. Man, you look good. I saw my brother Martin. Where's my brother Martin at? Brother Martin over here, he was wearing this sweater the other day. I said, Martin, you look like you hit a sail at the Gap, my friend. You look good. And you know Martin stood up a little taller? Why are you laughing? That's not funny. I love my brother Martin. Martin's great. But what happened is he stood up a little taller. Why? He was edified. He was built up on the inside. Big smile on his face. See, it doesn't take much. It just takes opening your mouth and speaking something to somebody. Look at the last part of the verse. That it may impart grace to the hearers. That means that when you speak a good word out of your mouth and you build someone else up, it imparts something. It gives away something. It implants something on the inside of them. What is it? It's grace, God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on your behalf when you can't do it. When you start to say what God would say and start to speak the word of God and start to tell people, hey, you're more than a conqueror. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. You know what? If God be for you, who can be against you? When you start to say that, it starts to impart and starts to build up and starts to empower people to live the God kind of life. That's why it says, don't let any corrupt word. You know what corrupt is? Something that's tainted, something that is weak, something that's going to break down, something that's going to corrode and eventually bring the structure down. Don't let those things proceed out of your mouth, but rather what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace, the ability of God, on our behalf when we can't do it, to the hearers. Our words work in the positive and the negative. Second thought for tonight is that our words reflect our heart and guide our life. We can see all this in the Word. Listen, none of this is coming out of like some book other than the Bible. That's the only book that I studied for this message. This is coming out of the Bible. This is not some sort of positive thinking message and you can have what you say, you know, and you create your own world and this and that. No, there are elements of truth in those things, but we're talking about what the Bible has to say. The Bible says that our words reflect our heart and guide our life. Let's take a look at it. Reflect our heart. Luke chapter 6. You're there in Ephesians. Turn back with me to the Gospel of Luke chapter number 6. Talking about how our words reflect our heart. Luke chapter number 6. Luke chapter number 6, verse number 45. Luke chapter number 6, verse 45 says this, says a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. So stop for a second. Good man, good treasure in his heart brings forth good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth evil. Okay, so you have an evil man with evil treasure where? In his heart, brings forth evil. Now take a look at the next sentence. How did they bring it forth? This is how. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. That means that whether there's good or evil in your heart, the reflection of that heart is going to be what your words say. You cannot tell if people are good or bad just by looking at them. Can't tell if they're good or evil. But you can listen to their words and you can tell right away. Why? Because a good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good. For out of the abundance of his heart, out of the abundance of that goodness in his heart, his mouth speaks. But an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. Why? Because out of the abundance of his evil heart, his mouth speaks. Your words reflect your heart. I'll just put it up on the overhead. Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 23. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. Wow. What does that mean? That means that your heart is teaching your mouth. In other words, your mouth isn't going to go off on its own. It's only going to say what it's instructed to by your heart. So whatever is poured into your heart is what's going to come out of your mouth. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. When you speak, whatever's going on the inside of you will be reflected in your words. How about guiding our life? Our words reflect our heart and guide our life. You're there in the book of Luke. Turn with me to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Talking about our words reflect our heart and guide our life. Romans chapter 10, verse number 10. If it guides our life, it guides every area. Is that correct? Okay, it's okay to talk to me. If it guides our life, it guides every area. Is that correct? Yes. So that also would pertain to salvation? Come on. Does it pertain to salvation? Okay, let me show you the scripture that backs that up. Romans chapter 10, verse number 10. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. There's faith. And you believe in your heart unto righteousness. But look at this. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So what's coming out of your mouth started as a belief in your heart. With the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's how you got saved, is you believed in your heart and you confessed with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and you were saved. Right? When you said yes to Jesus, gave him all of your heart and all of your life, what did you do? You prayed a prayer and you confessed, Lord, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died for me. He paid the price for my sins, and now he forgives me of all my sins, washes me clean with his blood. What is that? That's your confession. That is your mouth guiding your life in the area of salvation. Turn with me to the book of James chapter 3, talking about our words guide our life. So it starts in the heart. The reflection of the heart is what comes out of your mouth, and then what comes out of your mouth guides your life. James chapter 3, starting in verse number 2. Right after the book of Hebrews is the book of James. James chapter 3, starting in verse number 2, we're going to read through verse number 5. James chapter 3, verse number 2 says, "For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body." So he says, listen, none of us is without faults. We all stumble in many things. But if anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man. Perfect meaning complete. Perfect meaning fully supplied. Perfect meaning having everything that you need. You are a perfect man. Right? Because we know that as long as we live in the flesh, that there's a flaw going on. There's that sin nature in the flesh. But in the spirit, we are perfected, right? We are born again, and now we are with Jesus Christ, seated with him in heavenly places. So there's a dual reality going on. But it's not talking about that. It's talking about our life, guiding our life, for we all stumble in many things, right? We go through this life, and there are things that take place, and we stumble. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man. He's complete. He's not lacking. He's got what he needs. Able also to bridle the whole body. Well, let's take a look at this example. He just used the term bridle. Then he goes on to say this. Verse number 3. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. So he just gives an example of a horse. And he says, we put a bit, this little thing about this long, into the mouth of the horse. As we put that bit into the horse's mouth, then we're driving the horse, and we can make this massive horse that's bigger than us, that we couldn't pick up and turn by ourselves. Now all we got to do is go like this, and the horse turns. Why? Because there's something bridling the mouth, and if you get a hold of the mouth, then you get a hold of the whole body. You can steer the course. You can turn. What does he say? He uses a term, that they may obey us. So our body, this flesh suit that we live in, needs to obey us. How do we do that? We've got to bridle the tongue. We've got to put a bit in our own mouth, and that way we can turn it wherever we want it to go. Okay, here's another example, verse number 4. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. So whoever's at the wheel, wherever they want to go, it doesn't matter what kind of storm is going on, what kind of wind is beating at it. If the pilot says we're going left and starts to turn that wheel, then what happens? The rudder on the back starts to turn and that ship starts to move in that direction. If he says I want to go right and starts to turn that wheel, what happens? It turns and it starts to make that course. Why? Because the pilot had a desire and he turned it in that direction, and that rudder just made a small adjustment and it turned the whole ship. Let me tell you something, church. Doesn't matter what kind of storm is going on in your life right now. The devil made me do it is not a good excuse. Hopefully we learn that as children. But we continue to put excuses out there. Well, it was hard. Well, but you know, I'm weak. My daddy was this way. My mommy was this way. My whole family's this way. This is the way that we were raised. We're in San Bernardino. It's tough times right now. It's recession. I had people screaming at me. The kids were on my back. My wife, my husband, they were chewing me up and down. You don't know what it's like for me. There's a storm raging. Everything is crumbling all around me. You don't know what it's like around me. I don't, but God does. And God says it doesn't matter how fierce the wind is. If you can get a hold of your mouth, get a hold of your tongue, then you can start to steer yourself in the direction that God wants you to go. Sometimes people say, well, why doesn't, you know, if I'm Jesus's co-pilot, then why doesn't Jesus turn the wheel where he wants it to go? No, Jesus is our captain. He's the captain of our salvation. He's calling the shots, but you've got a hold of the wheel. He's not going to move your mouth for you. You have to move your mouth. You have to speak. You have to pray. You have to intercede. You have to get a hold of it. You have to turn it. You have to start to move the direction wherever you desire. That's why it says wherever the pilot desires. Problem is, we've got our desires wrapped up in the wrong thing. Our heart is now contrary to the ways of God, evil, and we start to bring forth evil and we turn in the wrong direction. But when you get a hold of the Word of God and you get the goodness of God, there's none good but God. The Word is good. When you start to get that good treasure in your heart and you start to bring forth that good treasure, you start to speak it and your desire lines up with the desire of God, then you start to turn in the direction of God. Verse number 5, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. Remember, this works in the negative as well as the positive. A lot of times we hear about the negative example, forest fire, that's a bad thing. Wow, gossip, you know, just a little bit of gossip, and all of a sudden, great big forest fire. Little bit of slander, little bit of malice, little bit of dirt thrown, mudslinging, and all of a sudden, it's all over everybody, right? But in the same way, fire is also a good thing. You know, the Holy Spirit came as fire. Our God is a consuming fire. There's a fire of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, and God wants to catch this valley on fire. What? With a little spark, with a little shout. And it only takes a spark to get a little fire kindled, and we can get this thing lit up. We can get this thing heated up. How? By turning the wheel in the direction of God. We can start to speak the Word of God and the will of God in our life and start to turn the ship. Are you listening? Most of the time, what we speak is based on our need. Think about that for a second. Most of the time, what we speak is based on our need. So, you know, a lot of times people have a problem and a need arises. I need peace, right? My life is chaotic. There's a need. And so we start to speak. God, it's just chaotic all the time. I just can't get away. What is this? The negative starts to come out. Right? We see the need and we start to speak. We start to react. We see something come up and rather than respond, we react, right? We get hit with something and something starts to come out. And so we start to speak according to our need. But God wants us to know, and this is the last thought for tonight, that for every need, there is a seed. For every need, there is a seed. You see, the word in the Bible is pictured as a seed. Parable of the sower. The sower goes forth and he sows the what? Seed. The seed is likened to the word, right? Sower goes forth and he sows the word. And so we know that there is a seed of the word. And what happens to that seed? It falls on ground, falls on the heart. It starts here in the heart. And then it starts to take root, and it starts to develop, and it starts to come up. Now, there's pressures. There's the sun that's going to come up every day. There's the tribulation and the persecution that's going to come up in life. Comes up every day. But if it's got a good soil, if it's got a good root, and if there's no rocks, no stony ground, no thistles, no thorns, cares of this life, desire for other things, if it's got a good place to get root, then it's going to start to spring up and it's going to produce fruit. You know how it produces fruit? Right here. The fruit of our lips, thanksgiving unto God. And so, for you and I, When we see the need come up in our life, when we start to see, man, I really need peace, then it's time to go get the seed. We see there's a lack. I have a need. There's a need of finances. Well, there's a seed. My marriage, struggling. We're not connecting. We're not communicating. There's a seed. Think about it. If we didn't have grocery stores, but we had seed stores, we would understand this principle a lot better. Am I right? Because no longer would you be going, oh, I'm just going to go down and grab a bag of salad. We'll rip it open and have salad, right? Doesn't work like that anymore. No, now you have to go and get seed. And you're going to have to sit there and take a look at all these packages and say, well, you know, I don't know if I like that butter lettuce stuff. Maybe I'm an iceberg guy, you know? I don't know if I really like that romaine, you know? Maybe I like spinach. And now all of a sudden, according to the need, according to what your desire is, you're going to have to select the right seed, and then you're going to have to plant that seed. And then start to cultivate it. Meditate on it. I like what Jack Hayford said. He said, faith that speaks is first a faith that seeks. You say, Pastor, you're rhyming now. Yeah, I am. Why? Because you're going to remember it. For every need, there is a seed. Faith that speaks is first faith that seeks. That means that before we plant a seed, we have to get it. You got to get a hold of the seed. If you want carrots in your salad, you got to go get carrot seeds. If you like a salad with some apples in it, you got to go get some apple seeds. And listen, it's not like going to the store and getting a bag. You have to wait for the plant to grow. Sometimes you have to wait for the season. Sometimes you have to pull some weeds. Sometimes you have to cultivate the soil. Sometimes you have to put it in the right place in your yard. It's not overnight always. So you've got to get a hold of the seed. You've got to plant the seed. You've got to start to seek it out. You've got to find the right one for your situation. Got to identify where it is that you want to go. What is your desire? Do you desire to have a good life? Do you desire to have a good marriage? Do you desire to be successful in your business? Do you desire to have kids that grow up and serve the Lord and don't make the same mistakes that you made when you were their age? If that is your desire, then you've got to go to the store and you got to get a hold of the seed and you got to grab a hold of that seed and you got to start to sow the seed. You've got to start to plant the seed. You got to cultivate the seed. Why? Because for every need, there is a seed. So you and I got to grab a hold of the promise of God. And if you don't know what the word says, you're not going to get the results you want. Your desire will be in the wrong place. And as the pilot of your life, you're going to steer it in the wrong direction. Why? Because according to your word, and as you have spoken, I will give it to you. Our faith, just like our love, is expressed in the same way, in word and in action. Think about that for a second. Our faith and our love are expressed in the same way, in our words and in our actions. Okay, for love, how do we express love? Well, we say it, I love you, in our words. How else do we express it? In our actions. Yesterday, people bought as many cards as will be sold all year, probably in one day. Millions of flowers were bought and given away. Millions of chocolates were given out. Gifts were given. What is that? That is a deed. Our love is expressed in words and in deeds. In the same way, our faith is expressed in words and in deeds. When you start to speak the promises of God, when you start to declare what you're believing God for, when you get a hold of a promise and you find the seed for your need and you start to declare it, that is how your faith is expressed in word and also in deed. That means that you don't just sit around and do nothing. You don't sit on your hands and hope that it comes to pass. No, you get involved in it. You do what the word says. You start to get going with it. Whatever I can do, Lord God, I'm gonna give you something to work with here, Lord. I'm going to be diligent about it because you said the diligent hand shall rule. God, I want to rule and reign in life. God, I want the promise. So therefore, Lord, I'm going after it. You want to have a healthy marriage? Get the scripture on marriage. Start to declare the word on marriage. Start to speak the things that God says about your marriage. My marriage will be a picture of Christ in the church. I will be a husband that loves his wife as Christ loved the church. I will be a wife that is submitted to her husband, as the church is subject to Christ in everything. You start to declare, you get a hold of the seed, and you start to sow that seed, but then you put the action behind it. Then you tell your wife you love her. You tell your husband you love him. You start to lay down your life and start to sacrificially give to your wife. Because why? Because Christ laid down his life. He didn't come to be served, but to serve. And then as the woman, you start to submit to your husband. You start to reverence and respect him. Men are looking for respect. You tell a man you love him, he says thanks. You tell him you respect him, you got him. That's how men are built. Tell a woman you respect her, she says thanks. Tell a woman you love her, got her. Second Corinthians chapter number 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4. We'll end with this tonight. Second Corinthians chapter number 4. Great verse. You got it in your Bible? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore speak. Now notice that it says, according to what is written. We started this out with a positive example about Moses. What did Moses do? Moses heard the word of the Lord, what God had said about himself, went before God and interceded on behalf of the people and said, Lord, according to your mercy, according to your word, really, what God had already said about himself. And he brought that up to the Lord, and the Lord said, according to your word. What happened? Moses got it on the inside of him that God was gracious, that God was merciful, that God was forgiving, that God was all who he says he was. He got that on the inside of him, and it became a part of him so that when he spoke, now the Lord looked at him and said, according to your word, you have a desire that lines up with my desire, and therefore I can move on that, Moses. According to your word. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, there's the seed. I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. You've got to act on the word. You got to speak it out of your mouth and you got to do it. Three things tonight that we learned, that we saw, some principles that we pulled out. Number one thing that we learned tonight is we learned that our words reflect our heart. And they guide our life. That this works in the positive and the negative. And therefore, whatever's positive in our life, we can speak what's positive or we can speak what's negative. Second thing is that our words reflect our heart and they guide our life. Whatever's on the inside of us is going to come out of our mouth. It's going to reflect in our words. And then our words also guide our life. Whatever train we're on, that's where we're going to go. So whatever's on the inside of us, if we're speaking it, it's going to direct our lives. Finally, we learn that for every need, there is a seed. We believe, therefore, we speak. If you got something from the word of the Lord tonight, come on, give him a great big praise. Hallelujah.